number 119 will be our invitation song tonight, 119.
I appreciate so much that good song that was led there to set our minds for what I'd like to talk to us about here this evening. And that is the idea of being close to Jesus. I would begin this evening by reading several passages from the Word of God, and you don't need to trouble yourself to try to find them if you don't wish. The main thing is for you to hear the words of God that God wishes to reveal for you to hear, for you to understand. I begin by reading Matthew 11:28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Matthew 23:37, Jesus there, overlooking Jerusalem, said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." In John 7:37, in the last day Jesus cried, that great day of the feast, he stood and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." In John 12:32, "And I," Jesus said, "if I be lifted up from the heaven, will I draw all men unto me." And finally, in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." You can't hear those passages that record for us the statements of our Lord himself while he lived here among us without understanding the close relationship that he wishes for all of us. It is clear that he invites all of us to come to him, that he wants to come to all men, that he desires a closeness of relationship between himself and those who would come to him. He wants men to come to him that he might help them and that he might be a blessing to them in their lives. We often talk about how that the religion of Jesus Christ is a daily religion. And if we're not careful, once again, we'll think of Jesus as someone we come and we talk a little bit about on the Lord's Day and maybe again on Wednesday night. And really, there is no other relationship unless we have an emergency. The day-to-day living, the day-to-day closeness that Jesus wishes for us to have with him is many times missed. It's lost in considering and taking advantage of it. Understanding that someone else wishes to have a relationship with you, having that understanding helps break down the walls and the barriers many times. It keeps you from that relationship. And what I'd like to do here for just a few short moments is I'd like to click through several passages and ideas that shares with you and shares with me the idea that Jesus wishes a closeness with you. And you can't help but when you see this, that this is not just a weekly closeness or an every once in a while closeness, but it is a daily closeness, an hourly closeness, a minute by minute closeness that he wishes to have with you on this side of eternity. And so as I click through here, I'd like for you to consider these things and consider that closeness with Jesus and ask yourself tonight, do you have that closeness with Jesus? And understand the fact that I appreciate you're here on a Sunday night, but I also know that even gospel preachers can lose sometimes that closeness that the Lord desires. And it's incumbent upon all of us to consider this here this evening and to understand the close relationship that Jesus wishes for you to have. First of all, I want you to appreciate that Jesus wishes to be your Savior. You know I have to start there. Where else would I start? "And she shall bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The thought is involved, the very meaning of Jesus, which is literally the idea of Savior. Paul said this is a faithful and worthy statement, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus wishes to be such a part of your life that salvation, your salvation, is found through Jesus Christ himself. Paul said, "Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. A complete deliverance from sin means not only the deliverance from the consequence of that sin, but also that guilt, that anxiety, the practices of sin itself, and its destructiveness in our lives. Jesus wishes to save you from all the heartache and the pain and the trouble that sin will invariably cause in your life if you continue in it. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9:22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Jesus Christ came to die upon the cross, to shed his blood there, so that you and I might have those sins rubbed out, remitted from us, and that we might understand that no longer are we condemned because of the sin that we have, the hopelessness, the death that sin brings. Jesus Christ came, and he wishes to be your Savior. In John 5:11, this is the record that God has given us everlasting life, and that life is in his Son. As I think about the idea and what I want you to think about here this evening, that close relationship, Jesus wishes to be your Savior, but also he wishes to be your King. And the thought of that is also involved in the word Christ, which literally means the anointed one, literally one that is anointed. And from the Old Testament, it shows us clearly how that Jesus was truly the anointed, as we see kings and prophets and priests, all anointed, and all those things are descriptive terms of Jesus Christ himself. In Deuteronomy 18:15-18, he is called the prophet of God. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4:15 that he is our high priest. We see in John 18:36, Jesus said, I come into this world to become a king. My kingdom is not of this world, however. But Jesus Christ wishes to be your king. If he is going to be our king, or wishes to be our king, it tells me that his kingdom has been established. He said in Mark 9:1, there were some there in the New Testament days that would still be alive when his kingdom would come with power. In Colossians 1:13, Paul tells us that those of us who have been obedient to the call, who's called us out of darkness, he has translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Jesus wishes to be your king. He wishes to have that relationship with you. He wishes for you to be a citizen of his kingdom that he has established. And he wishes to be your king. But also, Jesus wishes to be your owner. And that is involved in the word Lord. The New Testament frequently refers to Jesus as Lord. And that term Lord simply means master or owner. And Jesus, in every aspect, has every right to be our owner because he has purchased us from the slavery of sin. Sin has caused us to be spiritually bankrupt, and Jesus, the only one that could pay the debt that each and every one of us have before God. And Paul said in Acts 20:28, when he talked to the Ephesian elders, he said, now listen, I want you to take heed unto yourselves and over the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, Acts 20:28, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You and I have been purchased by God, by Jesus Christ, from our sin. In 1 Peter 1:18, for we know that we've not been redeemed, we've not been bought back by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul asked the question, why don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I want you to appreciate, I want you to think about this idea of relationship and the closeness that God wishes, Jesus himself wishes to have with you. Not only does he want to be your Savior, not only does he want to be your King, but he wishes to be your master. He wishes, ladies and gentlemen, to be your owner. But also, Jesus wishes to be your teacher. Without a doubt, Jesus was the incomparable master teacher. And Jesus many times is referred by that term by those who were present in his day. A teacher, Nicodemus said in John 3 and verse 2, that had to come from God because of all the miracles that he was able to do. He was the master teacher both in content and in method. The officers who were sent to take him refused to take him. And when those who had given them the charge, why didn't you bring him back? They said in John chapter 7, verse 32 and verse 46, never has a man taught like this. Jesus was the master teacher. And Jesus tonight wants to be your teacher. Think about all the times and the privileges that people have who wish to gain some skill and they look for a teacher. It's one of the boasts of the Apostle Paul that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And that meant something in the world because Gamaliel was thought of as a great teacher and a great mind. Jesus Christ is the master teacher. No one ever taught like him. And Jesus invites you, come, learn of me. Jesus wishes to be your teacher, but he also wishes to be your shepherd. The shepherd of the flock, its guide, its protector, its comforter, and its provider. Jesus calls himself that very thing in John chapter 10, beginning verse 11, when he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, he says, which are not of this flock, them I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and we shall all be of one fold and of one shepherd. Jesus wishes all nations, all tongues, all makeups to be a part of his sheepfold. Jesus wishes to be your guide, your tender, your protector in everyday life. The chief shepherd, Peter called him in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And with the Lord in mind, we should memorize Psalms 23. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Why? Because he leads me to green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. You prepare a table before me, before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, it runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a privilege, ladies and gentlemen, to be invited into the great shepherd sheepfold. Jesus wishes to be your shepherd, but he also wishes to be your light. The Lord taught that he was and is the light of the world. In John 1 and verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The guiding, the allowing light to come into the world. Jesus Christ was able to overcome the darkness of the world to be able to guide us in this world. Then spake Jesus again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, he shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In John 9 and verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Those in Christ have been translated out, as we talked about this morning, out of the power of darkness, Colossians 1 and verse 3, delivered us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are exhorted in Philippians 2 and verse 15 that we be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, whom among also we shine as light. So the Lord wants to be our light, our guide, our illuminator to what life is all about. I want to be your light. I want to be your lighthouse in times of trouble. I want to be your light as you walk through this world of darkness. Jesus wishes to have that kind of closeness with you to be your light. But he also says, I want to be your bread. I want to be what it is that you find nourishment in. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 34, I have meat, and what my meat is to do the works of him that sent me. you and I need to nourish ourselves upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6 and about verse 35 there, Jesus talks about this idea. He said, I am the bread of life. He that believeth upon me shall never hunger. Again, he said, I am the bread which has come down from heaven. John 6 and verse 41. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes upon me shall have everlasting life. For I am the bread of life. As you think about the idea of bread, the very substance of our life, the thing that sustains us. How often do you eat? There's been days I've ate all day long. What is it that you feed upon? What I want you to understand here tonight in a very real sense, that Jesus wishes you not just simply to feed upon Him, to feed upon His Word on Sunday morning and for a little time on Wednesday night. He wishes for you to daily get your daily bread through that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. He wishes to be your bread, but He also wishes to be your water. Again, in John chapter 4, as He taught that woman at the well, in verses 10 and verse 14, He said, I have a living water. In me is living water. He that drinks of my water shall never thirst. And this again is repeated in John 6 and verse 35. He that will come to me shall never thirst. Again, the lesson is this. The Lord is able to supply your needs. Your hungering, your thirsting in this life can be and will be supplied by Jesus. Not your job, not your career, not your promotion, not your money, not your power, not your fame, not your leisure time, not your recreation. But Jesus. And He wishes for you to have that relationship with you, to supply these daily needs that we might survive and have that close relationship. The Spirit of Bride say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Water without cost, Jesus Christ provides today. He also wishes to be our clothing. In becoming a Christian, one puts off the garments of sin and puts on the robe of righteousness. For we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Think about the closeness that Jesus wishes to have. I mean, what else could be closer to us than our clothing? And Jesus utilizes that to describe the relationship that He has with you. The very thing that clothes you is Jesus Christ. And that knowing, Paul said in Romans 13:11, that the time is now time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not rioting or drunkenness or chambering or wantonness or strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Jesus Christ. In the morning when you wake, not just your clothes, but Jesus Christ Himself. That's the type of relationship that Jesus wishes to have for you. Jesus wishes to be our hope. The New Testament frequently stresses the importance of hope. Did you know that Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 24, we're saved by hope? Saved